I want to let you in on two thoughts that we have going into our Christmas season as a church. Both of them are traditions that we've had. One is the fact that we want to give people an opportunity to adopt a child or children to help provide Christmas for. As you leave today, there in the left hand, as you're going out on the left in our foyer, we have a Christmas tree set up. We do an outreach here, a local outreach to a community here, and really it's near our church. And through that, we've built up relationships with people that we're trying to communicate the love of Christ. And we started doing this last year, and what better way than to be involved in their neighborhood through block parties and serving lunch there in the neighborhood. But through our relationships with them, we have come to find families that need help. And there's no greater expression of a local church really impacting the community than touching them in that way as well. So if you would like to adopt a child, maybe one of your children this year would like to take that on your way out, we would invite you to consider taking one of the names and bringing the gift back the next 2 weeks. And we would love to be able to distribute that on your behalf. And the second thing that we've done, Christ Chapel was birthed 17 years ago in Macon. As Pastor John Wood sort of responded in faith and started Christ Chapel in Macon. I was on staff for 10 years there, and we came here 7 years ago to plant this church. But one of the neat things we've done for 17 years is during the month of Christmas, we give people a chance out of overflow to be able to bless people that are in need during Christmas. And we just call it I don't even know another way to say it, an opportunity out of overflow. And so we set up this box. And for the 3 Sundays prior to Christmas, we give you a chance to bring $1, $5, $20, $100 out of God's blessing. If you're in a position to give this year, we want to be able to distribute that to people that we come in contact with. We also want to let you know, if you know of someone in our fellowship or someone in your relationship, we are just basically saying we just want God to smile on you in this way. And so we give you an opportunity. There's never out of constraint, never out of manipulation or need, but just, you know, I'm in a season where I can bless somebody. And by the way, there have been seasons in our life, Patty and I, we needed somebody to bless us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So at this time, we're going to put on a song, and if you want to bring your child or you and you just want to walk up, we're going to just give you an opportunity to give, and then we'll have a chance to hear the word of God this morning. So if you would like to give, you can come and bring your offering now. We're going to do this, and then we'll open up and have our word. Guys, if you can put a song on, I'll give you a chance to give. Oh, Father, bless us. All right, you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 21 today. John chapter 21. If you're on your iPhones, if you can look at verse 9. John chapter 21, verse 9. I would like to, on behalf of my wife and I, tell you how grateful we are for you blessing us as we've taken a break the last 3 weeks. We've come back refreshed. I'm very grateful for Billy Smith from Zebulun and Kevin. And also Bryce, his first Sunday back since he left in August to have these guys fill our pulpit. And I'm very, very grateful for you to continue to support our church financially. But more than anything, every person that we've talked to was really excited for us to be able to be refreshed. And we've come back renewed in our marriage and our family and excited about the next chapter. I want to go ahead and go into what I feel like God wants me to release in this house today. And I have a specific word for someone or for someone that you're going to come in contact with this week. Or maybe it's through the internet or a CD that you're going to get that you're going to give someone. I'm going to teach some, but this is one of those Sundays where you'll know if this is for you or not. And if it is for you, I pray you'll respond. I want to talk to you. Just go ahead and put it right out there on the table. I want to talk to you about having and receiving the grace to start over. I want to talk about starting over today. January's coming, and some of us will start over a new diet plan and a health kick. So this isn't just a January 1st message, the first Sunday in December or the beginning of December. But I want to talk to you this morning about the grace to start over again. I don't know what you could have come out of that you would need to start over from, but maybe there's somebody here today that's gone through a real difficult season financially and you've suffered great loss. I don't want to say that you've been bankrupt, but you have lost things, a business, substance, provision, a job. I pray today that God would just let you receive ministry, that there's hope for you to start over again. Maybe there's somebody that walked in today and you've gone through, well, a relational train wreck. Maybe somebody's walked out on you. Maybe there's a broken relationship in your family. Maybe it's really come to the forefront this week or this last month, and your conversations are about the brokenness or the hurt. Maybe there's somebody here today that this is your first Christmas without a dad. Or maybe you've buried a spouse this year or a child, and it's a season of mourning, and you wonder if you can ever turn the page and move away from the grief. And maybe, just maybe, there's somebody here that's gone through a moral failure. Your convictions, your commitments, not only have wavered, but you've walked away and you've turned, and you're embarrassed. You've embarrassed by the consequences of your decisions. And you've said things like this: I'm so tired of having to pray the same prayer of confession. And I believe God's got a word for you today. I believe that there's grace for you to start over again spiritually. And finally, before we get into our text, I also feel like for somebody who's just bored, that you're in a place of incredible complacency. Complacency is not a word. As I was praying about this, let me see if I can describe it for you. Your life has become so mundane, so predictable, that you wonder if you can ever live again. I wonder if there could ever be anything that could excite you again. How about this? Could I ever dream again? Have I forfeited my dream? I don't know what the application is for you. I don't know even where you're at in your life. But I believe it may not be for everybody, obviously, but for a few people, this is the day that's going to change the rest of your life, because you're going to be able to see that there is grace for you to start over. And I want to pray as we read our text this morning. So bow your heads with me. Father, somebody on our worship team, I don't know if it was Zach or Arwen or Jimmy, I don't know who, but somebody said this: today's going to be a day of great change. And I pray for the person who sort of limped in here today, dragging a part of their life, a dead part of their life. I pray today that you would, through the Holy Spirit, come and allow them to be reminded that you've seen where they've been and that you know where they are. And I pray that they would be able to believe again that the best is yet to come. That the best is yet to come. Holy Spirit, I need you today to communicate clearly the message of hope that you have birthed inside of me this week. And I ask you to come and prepare our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. John chapter 21, verse 9. I always like to give just a little context whenever we look at a text. We pick up this story at the end of the Gospels, the Gospel of John. And Jesus came from heaven, the Son of God, came through the womb of Mary at the age of 30, began his public ministry. He began to teach, and everybody said, "You speak in a way that nobody has ever spoke. You speak as if you have an authority from heaven." He began to heal people. He began to perform miracles, and through that process, he began to gather people around him. We call them disciples. There were 120 that followed him, but specifically there were 12 that were closest to him. And he has spent 3.5 years walking with them, and he is beginning to reveal himself to not only to them, but to communities. And there's a buzz in the community that he is the Messiah. Those closest to him have said to him as a way of confession, "You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. We know who you are." And at the end of his life on earth, he began to tell them that he was going to be betrayed, that he was going to be crucified for the sins of the world. And they couldn't understand it. They couldn't see it. As a matter of fact, Simon Peter, who is our main person in our story today, said, "Well, we don't receive that." And as a matter of fact, Jesus rebuked him because of his immaturity. And then Simon Peter said these words, "Well, I don't care what everybody else does. I would never deny you. I would die with you." And we know on the eve of his crucifixion that all of the disciples fled from him. They all deserted him as he was taken and he was tried and then he was crucified. Every one of those closest to him that identified their lives with him and had spent 3.5 years with him, they all walked away and denied him. He has since been raised from the dead. He has now come back and he's begun to reveal himself to different people. And in this text, he has revealed himself twice to Simon Peter before. And I don't know what's happened to Simon Peter, because Simon Peter was called into the ministry. He had this moment where he denied Christ 3 times. 3 times on the eve of the crucifixion, he said publicly to people, "I don't even know who he is." In the last time, he was cursing the one that said that he was a friend of Jesus. I don't know what's happened to Simon Peter, but the Bible says that he left and he went back to his former ways of being a fisherman. He was called to be a disciple. He was called to be an apostle. He was called to be a fisher of men. But something happened through that disappointment, through his denial of Christ. He forfeited, I believe, inside of him, he felt like he had forfeited his future doing what God had called him to do. He's gone back to do that which he knows how to do just out of mechanics. He's fishing. And the Bible says that Jesus finds him. And this text is a powerful text of hope and restoration. The Bible says that Jesus is called out to men that are fishing with Simon. And he said from the shore, "Throw your nets out on the other side of the boat." And when they did, they began to catch fish to the point where the boat was filled. And Simon Peter recognized it was Jesus. And he jumped out of the boat and he swam to shore. We're going to pick up this text this morning in John chapter 21, verse 9. And it says, "And when they got there," talking about the fishermen out of the boats now in the presence of Jesus, "they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread." Can we just stop and make sure that we capture this picture? Jesus finds Simon Peter, who has returned to fishing, calls to him in his boat, and Simon comes to the shore, and Jesus has cooked breakfast for him. Where did the fish come from? There's fish over the charcoals that are cooking. A meal has been prepared for Simon Peter that Jesus has prepared himself. Where did Jesus get the fish? Did he speak them into existence? Did he go catch them? Did he go buy them? Where did the bread come from? This is my thought as we look into this text. Jesus had prepared for the restoration of Simon Peter. He had prepared a meal of grace. And the Bible says they sit down to the meal, and this is what Jesus, and we'll go ahead and read the text now. I won't preach all of it, but listen to this. Verse 10, "Bring some of your fish that you just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. And there were 153 large fish, and yet the net wasn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. And none of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. And then Jesus served them bread and fish. I want to pause there. Just let that soak in for a second. And then Jesus served Simon Peter, fish and bread. And this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs." Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Simon Peter said. "You know that I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." And Jesus said a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was then hurt as Jesus asked the question. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And then Jesus said for the third time, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself, went wherever you wanted to go. But when you were old, you would stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." And Jesus said this to let them know what kind of death that he would glorify God. And then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Isn't that a beautiful story? Can you hear what the Spirit of God's saying in this? As I read this, I love this chapter. I love this picture for myself. Because there have been so many times in my life, and I don't know about you, maybe I'm the exception. There have been so many times that I have not followed through on the thing that I told God I was going to do. There are so many times that I have compromised my integrity. The thing that I vowed I would never do, I've gone back and I've done it. The things that I dreamed I would do through apathy or through letting things that in this world that I love more than him seep in. And when I read this, it's such a beautiful picture to me of a God who, I guess I'd call it a God of the second chance. The truth is I'd call it the God of like chance number 87. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I love this picture of God just coming to where Simon Peter was and finding him and saying, "I knew you'd go back fishing. I know you. But I want to ask you this question again. Do you love me? Because I love you." I want to talk to you just very briefly this morning about how you start over. If you're in a place today that you need to start over in an area of your life, how do you do that? What can we get from this story, a story of starting over for some people? And by the way, we know that he started over. On the day of Pentecost, he preached the first sermon for the New Testament church and thousands were saved. He went on to be the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. He ended up going on to be the pastor of the church of Rome. He became what the Catholic church believes is a saint in their eyes, the first bishop in the New Testament church. So obviously, Jesus did what he wanted to do. He resurrected the call on Simon Peter's life. How was he able to start over? And let me just share a couple of things that stood out to me. If you're taking notes, would you write this word down? Forgive. Grace to start over all begins with forgiveness. Two things that are forgiven in this. First off, we have a picture of Jesus forgiving Simon Peter. And I want to talk to you today, if you have someone who has betrayed you, someone who has disappointed you, someone who has wounded you, in order for you to truly start over in areas of your life, you can't walk forward into your future until you forgive them. You have to have the grace to forgive others. I believe that Christ is coming and saying to us, not only does God forgive us, but you have the capacity to forgive others. I want to challenge you today that there is grace for you. Grace to forgive others. And this picture is just a picture that Jesus wasn't bitter against Simon Peter. And I just wrote this down. Can I just speak to you in case you have resentment towards someone? As we purpose to start over and move forward, you just got to let go of resentment and bitterness. Resentment always hurts you more than it does the person you resent. While your offender has probably forgotten the offense and gone on with life, you continue to stew in your pain, perpetuating the past. Listen, those who hurt you in the past can't continue to hurt you now unless you hold on to the pain through resentment. Your past is past and nothing can change that. You're only hurting yourself with your bitterness. For your own sake, learn from it and then let it go. For those who have hurt you in the past can't continue to hurt you now unless you hold on to that pain and resentment. The Bible says in Hebrews that that bitterness and unforgiveness becomes like a tree that contaminates everything in our life. I want to challenge somebody today. Let somebody go. Forgive. We're never more like Christ than we forgive. There was this guy that I knew about 10 years ago that suffered a great church hurt. Can I just go ahead and address the issue that, by the way, there are messed up people sitting right around you. Matter of fact, you can look at him right now and say he's talking about you. They're all around you are crazy people. There's one thing I've learned about life in the church. There's an incredible potential to be hurt deeply by the people that are around you today, by people who are, quote unquote, in the family of God. About 10 years ago, I had a friend of mine who got hurt by the church real deeply. And he was a humble man. He was a man who loved God. But I watched that particular church hurt change him. It poisoned part of his life and it hurt his family. And if I could just, with all tenderness, tell you that this is not about them or what happened. But you can't ever really start over into what God's planned for you when you're dragging a dead carcass of a hurt that you won't let go. When I see this picture of the humility of Christ, I saw him as he was about to be crucified, washing their feet. And then when I see him, watch this. He's cooking a meal for the one who deeply wounded him. How do you do that? How do you do that? I don't think we can ever do that except for through the grace of God. We can't do it on our own. Could somebody say amen? It's him changing us. But us embracing the invitation to forgive is where health comes from. And my word just for somebody today is you're just in a season, you've got to let it go. And my second thing here, and this is the thing I really wanted to say, you can't ever really start over until you forgive yourself. Simon Peter could not walk into what God called him to become until he could receive the grace of Jesus to be forgiven. Jesus came to where Simon Peter was, and he had a meal, and Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" And through that process, we see this restoration. And I want to talk to somebody today that's just battling incredible guilt for a mistake, remorse, even shame. Because here's what I do. I got grace for you, but I don't have grace for me. I really do. I am very quick. Everybody's different. Some of you are harsher with other people and you have grace for yourself. But I have a feeling there are some people here today that you can't receive the forgiveness that God's. I can't comprehend this, but the Bible says that whenever we come to God with a failure, a part of our life, and we bring it to him and we confess it and we ask him to forgive us. The Bible says that he not only forgives, he throws that thing from his presence as far as the east is from the west. It's not even before him. So here's my question. How offensive would it be to having been forgiven not to walk in that forgiveness? Okay. Jesus died on the cross so we can be forgiven. He died on the cross so that there can be a continuation, that grace being available for us continually, not just one time. How offensive would that be to the one who died for us if we wouldn't receive that? I want to give you permission today to let it go. You got to bury the what if I had. I should have. Because the truth is, everyone falls. Everyone falls repeatedly. And the only way we can do that is by renewing our mind with what God said about who he is. Now, this is very important. What God said about who he is, not just about who we are. Paul said something. We've got this one verse I want to put on the screen, but it's Philippians chapter 3. You can turn there in your Bibles if you want to. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. If you're taking notes, write this down. The Apostle Paul had persecuted, his name was Saul beforehand, he had persecuted the church in the name of religion, in the name of passion. He had gone out and he begun to arrest Christ followers. He had gone out and he had begun to torture and even to the point of killing people who would line themselves up with Jesus. And then he had an experience with God on the road to find and hunt down Christians. It was such a radical encounter that on that day he met Jesus and he was changed forever. And in that moment, he was not only forgiven, he was called to become a preacher of the gospel of grace. He was called to go back to the church and also the Gentiles and be the one to tell them about Jesus. What must it have been like for Saul to have been the one persecuting the church, now to have walked the very first time into a church to tell them about Jesus? Okay, stop and think about this. Saul for a while had been persecuted. That was his purpose and passion. What was it like the first time he stood up in a home group where he had harmed someone? There's a mom back there whose husband is in prison, and now Saul, who is now we know as Paul, has come back to tell them about the goodness of God through Christ. And this is what he said in Philippians chapter 3. In a whole chapter written, a letter written about who God is and who Christ is, this is what he said. I can't tell you that I've got it all. I haven't comprehended and apprehended everything about the gospel, but this one thing I have. I have forgotten the things that are behind me. I have forgotten the things that are behind me, and now, I am pressing forward into the things that are before me for the prize, for the mark, for the high calling in Christ. You know what Paul said? You can't go forward until you let go of your past. You got to turn the page over it. One of the keys for somebody today starting over is you got to quit talking about what happened. Especially if you were involved in the process. You got to let go of the person who did it to you. But most of all, if you're the one who is reaping the consequences of your choices, you got to let it go. I don't know about you, but my enemy, the enemy that doesn't want me to walk closely to God, has his finger on a replay button of all of my mistakes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Every time I move forward, he hits the replay button on what I've done and who I am and my mistakes. It's amazing how God can choose to forget them and not bring them up, but the enemy can. And Paul said this, I have forgotten the things that are behind me. I can't move forward until I let them go. And so this is just a word for somebody today. You got to let go of your past. If there are consequences that you're reaping, then embrace them, work through them. But you can't rehearse them. You can't rehearse them. You can't just keep allowing the enemy to hit replay button. Yeah, move forward, but you got to let go. And the last thing I want to share with you about this is simply this. There has to be something that we're moving forward to. Jimmy, if you can come. There has to be a purpose. Would you write this word down if you're taking notes? Purpose. Purpose. There has to be a purpose that's... How many people know it's hard to start over if you don't have a purpose? About a year and a half ago, I looked in the mirror. I know you've never done this. I looked in the mirror and I was about 25 pounds heavier than what I should be. I was at the highest weight I'd ever weighed in my life. I don't know what it takes for you to change, but the mirror was wonderful healing for me. And I made a decision that day that I was going to start over. I'm going to talk to you first in the physical realm, then I'm going to bring it in the spiritual. It started with me looking in the mirror and not liking what I saw about myself. And I made the decision to start over. And that week it started with me running to the end of my street. And that week I ran to the end of my street 3 times that week. And the next week I ran to the end of my street and back. And the next week I ran to the end of my street and up a hill and around the corner and then back. And about 3 weeks into this, having restarted this part of my life in the natural, I began to dream about what I could become. And I was watching something and I heard someone mention something about a half marathon. And I said, I could never do that. And as I started running, I said, maybe I could. I'll never forget the first time I ever ran 5 miles in my life in that process. I remember the first time I ran 10 miles. At the end of my 10-mile run, I sat in my car and I said, I can't believe I just did that. Let me see if I can say it to you in the natural. There was a half marathon in me when I was standing in the mirror looking 25 pounds overweight. But I had to start over. This is the thing I want you to hear me say today. There is a purpose that God has for you that's in your future. But it starts with you just turning and receiving His grace for today. The thought that He has love, mercy, and grace for your past and how you got to this place. It can be your physical body. It can be your finances. It can be the next chapter of your passion. It can talk about the restoration of your spiritual integrity. It starts with today with you simply receiving. I love this picture that Simon Peter didn't do anything to prepare the meal that the Lord had prepared the meal for him. The process of restoration was all prepared on the front end by God. And all Simon Peter did was listen. And then he responded with this. Yes, Lord, I do love you. I want to love you. I want to believe again. And I just think that the enemy steals our hope. Our thought of what could be. If you're in a place today where you're completely flatlined, you're complacent, there's no passion, there's... Before I finish that, can the Holy Spirit just brought this to my remembrance. Can I tell you one of the things that kills our dream and our purpose and our passion about our future is when we memorialize a chapter in our life and our past and we glamorize it. And then we spend the rest of our future comparing where we are to that season. And the way I said, sometimes you got to let go of your past where it's negative. Sometimes you got to let go of your past where it was positive. Because God is ever changing us. The gifts that He had there may be greater gifts inside of you that I had never run before last year. I had never dreamed of running before. I never knew there was run in me. I never knew there was a 15-mile run inside of me. You would have told me 2 years ago, you're going to run 15 miles one day. I would have said, you have lost your mind. Put it this way. If I told you, April, there's a 15-mile run in you this year. No, I'm serious. Okay. If you were to take something that was so outrageous for you, see, one of our problems is, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. The results of the dream, that's not on me, that's on Him. I love this thought that He even birthed the dream. All He needs is me to say, yeah, Lord, I love You. How about this? I receive Your love for me. I receive Your love for me. I wonder if Simon Peter, I wonder what he would have been like on the day of Pentecost if the Lord hadn't renewed him like this. What would have been like on the day? Would he have stood with boldness and preached the way he did on that day if he hadn't received this idea, the Lord's forgiven me. The Lord loves me. It went from, I think, the potential of preaching about Him. I think it was like, do you know who He is? Can I tell you what He's done for me? Yeah, I see it doctrinally. I see it prophetically. I see it in the scheme of salvation. I just think that breakfast of restoration was vital for the moment that the unwrapping of Simon Peter, the evangelist, came to the forefront. I'll say it this way, and I'm going to close, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to apply it. Can you simply receive the grace today where you are to say, I believe that the Lord loves me here. I believe that there's grace for me today. I believe He's prepared for me a lunch in the midst of my enemies. And I receive that. And having received that, I turn and I ask Him to open the door. Someone said to me, well, what's it going to look like, this new purpose or this new thing? I have no idea for you. I can't even begin to tell you what to do or where to go. All I know is if you simply turn and say, Father, here I am, send me. And then Jesus said to him at the end, after He fed him, I believe after He restored him, after He talked to him about His love, He turned to him and He said, now just follow me. Just follow me. Do you have a heart that can receive the grace of God today? Because God is a God of the do-over. God is a God of the start over. Second chance, third chance, fourth chance. All I know is in Romans 8, Paul wrote, and he said, therefore now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk in the Spirit of who He is, who walk after Him and with Him. I just want to preach a message of hope. No matter where you're at and what you're walking through, God's a God who restores. God is the God of another chapter for you. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, I just release you right now. I don't even know how to pray. Father, I ask you to let your people hear what it is that you're saying to them today. I pray to the person who's given up or on the verge of giving up because they've been here so many times. Or they're in the process of trying to put it all back together. I pray today that you would give them the hope to start over again. Start over with you. Your calling, your purposes. God, I just ask you to give your people a heart to be able to receive this word today. And I ask you to then speak to them about what they're supposed to do. What's the start over look like? In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Could you stand to your feet as we're dismissed this morning? Could you sit down? I think I was about to miss something. If you're here today and you have never received Christ, you have never received the love of Christ. The Bible says He came from heaven to earth for people like you and I that did some pretty bad stuff. I'm supposed to tell you that this start over starts with Him coming and rescuing you from your sin and for your eternal destiny that's separated from Him. That there is an ultimate do-over that you can't imagine. It's called salvation. Christ came and He died on that cross so that you could be forgiven no matter where you are and what you've done. And I don't want you to leave here today without hope. And I've just come to tell you that God loves you no matter what you've done. And I have received this grace of salvation where He's forgiven me. And I can boldly tell you that I'm a son of God today, forgiven and loved by God because of what He's done for me. And if you're separated from Him and you've never received Christ, or maybe you've received Him and walked away, but you need to walk back to Him today. You need to receive Him today. I don't want to go home having preached a good homily for people that know Him, and you walk away and don't have hope. If you have need of complete spiritual restoration, if you want to start over on your spiritual life, I don't want you to leave here without receiving it today. So I'm going to pray again, except for this time, I'm going to just ask you, do you need a do-over? Spiritually a do-over? August 1989, I ran from a balcony when the pastor preached in Cartersville, Georgia. And I have never been the same since that day when I got my ultimate spiritual do-over. And this could be your day. Do you need to receive the love of Christ and the forgiveness of your sins and the restoration of your heart? If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and I'm going to just pray for you. Maybe I missed it. Maybe we're supposed to go home. Yes. Yes. Anybody else just need a spiritual do-over in my life? Is there anybody else that's not just like me? You can put your hands. Anybody else before I go? Because I want to pray for you that this will be the ultimate day where you can receive a do-over. All the way in the back. I can't comprehend it with what I've done. This is the thing that amazes me. I don't want to super spiritualize it. Jesus saw Simon Peter walk away from Him and He came and found him. He's never quit loving you. Anybody else that you say, Pastor, you're talking to me, I just need Christ. Anybody else before I pray for these that raise their hand? Anybody else? Let me pray. Everybody bow their head. This is one I ask. Those people that raised your hands, everybody here has humbled themselves. Those of you that raised your hand, could you stand up where you're at as a declaration of, I'm turning away from where I was and I'm turning toward God? This is between you and Him, but it's saying publicly, I heard Him today and I'm responding to what He invited me to become. Father, I raise my hand toward the people that are standing right now. And I ask You to resurrect their spirits. I ask You for the spiritual turnaround in their life, Lord. I pray that any person here that's been caught up in complacency, that You would rebirth them today. I pray for the person that's never accepted Christ to receive Christ. I pray for the prodigal that needs to come home. I pray for the person that's opened the door, Father, that door of sin will be closed. I pray for complete spiritual restoration for the people standing today. Those of you standing, pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I receive Your love for me today. And I receive Your grace. And I believe that everything's forgiven. And I believe that there's a new day coming for me. And I ask You to resurrect my heart. And I receive Christ as my Savior and as my friend. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Church, would you stand?